Matthew chapter 11, verse number 2. If you'll promise to help me, I'll promise to get out of the way just as soon as the Lord gets done. And not till I run out of things to say, because I could probably talk a long time. I'm just want to try to help you tonight. Verse number 2. The Bible said, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." If the Lord will help me here tonight, I want you to, verse number 3, I've preached, I don't know how many different ways from this, but I'm going to preach from you again tonight. The Bible said, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" These were the words of John the Baptist. I want to preach to us tonight on the prayer from a prison cell. The prayer from a prison cell. John had seen better days than this in his life. And I feel like that we could look over some things, and I feel certain there are days that seem to stand out as highlights in our life. John had been to the place where he had gotten so accustomed and so used to seeing the Lord coming by where he was at. Got so used to seeing him and feeling him and talking with him. He probably never in his mind ever imagined a day whenever he would be locked up in a prison. Now it'd be easy for us to preach that John was in prison for a day or a week. But the reality of it is, the history records that John was in prison for approximately 6 months before he was beheaded. And during the course of this 6 months, that there he had some visitors. He had these faithful disciples that came by, and perhaps, possibly, he had a few other people that came to visit him. But one person never came. In the entire 6 months that John was in prison, Jesus never made a visit to John. Hear me tonight. I'm going to try to help you here. And with this, John got to the place, and I hope you can relate to this tonight. John had that the past. He was that one that had been down in Jordan and had gotten the experience of the Lord, baptizing the Lord in Jordan. And when he come up, seeing that the Spirit descend in the form of a dove and settle upon him. And it was there he heard the voice of the Father cry out and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." We've heard all of that. And it was this same John that in the same token and the same idea, he looked one day and he saw Jesus walking down the shores. And he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." I mean, these were things that would never be erased out of the memory banks of John the Baptist. My, what glorious experience. And we can all ourselves can pinpoint. We may not remember the exact date on the calendar, but we can recall things that have happened in our life that were spiritual pinnacles and the highest that we could ever remember it. We can call remembrance, and I've heard it testified a lot of times, just how great that service was or another service was and how many things that God has done through our life. You've heard it rehearsed over and over as it comes from the words of our elders. I remember when, and they give us a testimony of some great deliverance of healing or somewhere in their life when they saw the presence of God in their life. But there came a time in John's ministry when he got arrested and put in prison. A prison is not a place that we like to be in. But sometimes during the course of life, we find ourselves seemingly bound up and not really as loose as we would like to be. And you see, it would be easier to understand if the things that we were facing were simply because that we had disobeyed God or done something, amen, that was wrong or failed in a commandment or a commitment. But John was put in prison for doing the work of the Lord. And that's when it becomes confusing to us and hard for us to understand. When the effort that we put forth gets rewarded seemingly with confinement. And it's hard for us to understand when we've done our best. Why are we in this position that we're in? And there are people even in this revival that have yet to really get the freedom that they thought they needed to have gotten. They've been there for a while. They can't go back and say, if I'd have had it to have done over, because even the retracing of the steps in their life still shows them that they have done the will of God. But yet somewhere in a prison, I feel like John was one of those, Brother Keith Willis, that stayed encouraged. He tried to stay on top of it. He would not, in the face of his disciples, ever show any moment of weakness. He tried to retain his integrity and stand strong. Every day in this imprisonment, his disciples would come and he would always tell them, remember, I'm just the forerunner. After a while, I'm going to get done with this, and I've got to decrease so that he can increase. But when I want to tell you, when you've got accustomed to seeing the Lord every day of your life and it suddenly dries up and nothing's happening, you're not feeling anything in prayer. You're not seeing his presence. There's not a miracle. I mean, are you hearing me tonight? The rumor is there's still revival in the streets, in the regions of Galilee. But for some reason, it's done everything. Come on in the world, except stop where you are. It almost seems like a bypass has been built around your experience. That while you really want it, you desire to be in it, and nothing is going on where you are. You going to help me preach a little tonight? It seems to be a reality that we find ourselves up against what John was up against. Commentators have argued back and forth over this statement of John the Baptist as to whether he was really discouraged or if he was just seeking to get his disciples to get their own experience. But I believe with all my heart that John got to a place that the pressure and the absence of Jesus began to take its toll upon his soul until he finally uttered the words of our text, and find out for me if he's the one that should come, or should we look for somebody else? You ever felt that way? These words were almost, why me? What have I done to deserve what has been handed down? Is this the reward that is given? for days of doing my best for God, it doesn't seem to add up. And in a time like this, it'd be so easy to get bitter toward God and not understand, Lord, I don't deserve this. It's not fair. Why are they having revival? Why can't I get in on this? I really want to try to help somebody tonight. Because the fact is we find ourselves in bondage sometimes, and it's really through no fault of our own. That may be contrary to your opinion. I mean, I've heard them preach and I've seen them in years past. I had an uncle that really, he got mixed up just a little bit into some things, and I mean, his idea was that everybody that was sick and everything that went on is because they had a devil in them. I mean, he had saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled people leaning over garbage cans to try to cast the devil out of them. And I don't want to cross your ideas here. But I said right there, and he said, can I pray for you? I've had a little congestion problem. And he said, it's a devil in here. I said, ain't no devil in here. You hear me? I said, it's just not wisdom for me to run out in the cold. But I said, ain't no devil in there. And he said, backed up a minute. I said, I want to tell you right now, I do not believe that a spirit-filled child of God can be full of the devil all at the same time. Everything has nothing. Everything that happens, it may be best. Some things happen to everybody. And sometimes it's just for the glory of God. Come on, I'm not going to tell you that everything that you face is an act or an intrusion of a devil. But I can tell you this, God is faithful, and He's not forgot about where you are. I can see this stalwart, a disciple that John was, this firm, solid, I mean, the man that never complained and never grumbled. He never seemed to show his displeasure about anything. There came a day in his life, Brother Jeff Smith, that he finally, it had gone days and days and weeks and months, and perhaps 3 months into this, of everybody expected to see, he thought for sure he wasn't asking for a release, but at least a visitation from Jesus, just a pat on the back. Come on now, a little bit of, you know, a promotion, a little bragging, you're in my wheel. What would really go a long way right now? But after 3 months of suffering, 4 months goes by, and there is no Jesus. John began to break down under the pressure in the absence of the power of God. Come on now. And he was here. I can see the disciples make their way through the prison cell one morning, and when they walked in there, they see this man still clothed in camel hair. He's still got his beard. He's leaning over in a corner. There's not a smile on his face, but his eyes are swollen and bloodshot, and there has become a river of tears flowing down his cheeks. I can see the disciples as they look at this man and wonder in disbelief, what's wrong with John? I can see him as he's shaking, Brother Bailey, and he looks up and says, I just can't take it anymore. I've got to know, is that really him, or should I look for something else? I'm tired of the struggle. I'm tired of the battle. I'm tired of what I'm going through. Come on, there's no doubt about it. They took this serious. John, they'd never seen John like this before. I've got to tell you, would you go find him and tell him, I just want to know. All I need is a few words from this man. I need somebody to tell me if it's still healed. That'll increase my faith enough to help me stand the storm that I am in right now.
Well, I know you're not shouting on this yet. But the fact is, sometimes we get in the same position. And with something like this, we start second guessing ourselves. We feel like, did I miss it somewhere? You know, when we have that Monday morning saga that begins to unfold after a Sunday night breakthrough. And we think we're really so uncertain because we can't feel God anywhere. We're not certain if this is the judgment of God. Come on now. Or if this is something that the devil, amen, has placed upon us. You see, it was the devil's desire to try to drive the Spirit out of this man, John the Baptist. If John recants, takes back his words, says, I'm sorry to the king, John's going to be loose in the streets. Oh, come on now. And he'll have his freedom. But what is really good about freedom when you've had to compromise to get it? Huh? And this man, whatever he done, I do not believe that there was the option. He never at any time presented the option that I'm just going to back down. And when I get out of this, I'll find out for myself. He stood firm in his position. He never begged for the jailer. Come on with a backing down of what he said and a changing of his words. He never asked for another an appointment with the king. Let me tell you what I really meant to say. Are you helping me here tonight? No. No, from the prison. He sent two men. Come on a mission of prayer. I need you to pray through for me. I need you to find out and come back and let me know. Is that him? Or do I need to look for somebody else? You see, the prison, it bewilders us. It makes us wonder why. What have we done? And I know you're saying, preacher, what does this have to do with anything? Right here in the middle of a revival, I'll tell you what it is. You're the one that's locked up and you ain't feeling nothing tonight. That's a fact. You hear me now? And you're sitting there wondering, what have I done? In fact, some of you didn't feel much last night. Some of you didn't feel it the night before that. Amen. Or the previous 2 weeks you've been in this. I don't know whether to call it a zone or a rut. But you're finally, you're about to hit the panic button and do something that you're, amen, that you are going to regret one day. But I'll tell you right now, before you bail out and change your mind and change your testimony and change your stand, let's go and find out, amen, one more time. Let's give Jesus that opportunity to give us the answer that will convince us, amen, for eternity. You listen to me. We do not have to change our minds. Come on, just to get free. You can have as much liberty in your prison cell as you do walking the streets. As long as you're in God's will, it really does not matter.
This is my message. Come on. John, what's wrong? I got to know. I'm at this point in time. I'm just not sure. Well, what? Well, John, you've been telling us. Yeah, I know what I've been telling you. But right now, you all have been out. You visited revivals. I've been at least 3 months and haven't saw him one time. Now, I know there is the idea that God will deliver you physically out of everything you get into, and it is not so. There are some things that your surroundings are never going to change. But what will change is the elevation of your spirit. Come on now. Hallelujah. I got to try to help you here. I got a burden to preach this to you tonight. And the Bible said that he sent those two disciples and they came to this revival. I don't feel like they went very far until they found where Jesus was at. And when they got there, you can tell by the look in their face.
I mean, they are absolutely just worried. It's heavy on their mind as they interrupt the service and come and give their prayer request. We've got a message for John for you. Hey, he wants to know, art thou the one that should come? Or do, and I like the way they phrase this, or do we look for another? It wasn't a matter of it's just John in this. These two disciples dedicated themselves and said, we're in it with him to the end. We're not going to bail out. We're not changing our minds. He wants to know, and we want to know too. In fact, everything he wants to know, we're with him. I'm afraid that sometimes when the heat of the battle really kicks in, we distance ourselves from one another for fear. Come on now. Amen. Bringing the same result upon us. We don't want to go to prison, so we stay away from the prisoner. But I want to tell you that these disciples were faithful. They were dedicated. And they really did love one another. If there was ever a time that we needed to stand shoulder to shoulder and arm to arm and march like that army that we ought to be, don't abandon me in prison just because I'm there. You may say, but brother, it's going to tarnish my reputation. When did it really matter about a reputation? The Bible said, when you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's just it. But that word restore means to go and take them under your wing and sustain them until they are able to walk again on their own. What it says, if you're spiritual, do that. But if you're not willing to stick with them, then you leave their faults alone and don't even mention them. Don't tell me all their problems and everything that you see wrong with them. That's what he's telling us. And you know, there's a lot of fault finders in the world. Nitpickers, we've heard them called, haven't you? I mean, they'll pick this and pick that and pull on this and I mean, they just say they find fault with everybody they ever seen in their life. But I want to tell you something. He said to restore them. If you ain't willing to get under them, it may jeopardize your reputation. But there's some things more important than reputation. Jesus was a friend of the sinners and the publicans. I preached that to you the other night. I don't want to get out here on a limb somewhere and get off on something that'll make half the people here probably wondering if I really even had anything tonight. But they went and they said, we want to know, do we look for another? But you see, the idea behind this is we're not going back to the prison until we find him, until we find what we're looking for. If you're not the answer, then we're going to search until we find the answer. And it was right here. Come on now, John is still in prison. It could have been cured by a little visit, but Jesus is not bringing John out of prison, but he is going to send the disciples back with an answer to a man that is in this prison. He has the answer to the prayer of this prisoner. I got to hurry here. Listen what happened here. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. He never was critical. He never pointed his fingers. He never said, John knows better than this. I pastored for 11 years, and I didn't always handle things this way. Just bear with me. It's the pastoral side of me coming out tonight. Hallelujah. Is that all right? I've been there a little bit. A couple times in my life. Well, once in my life for a long time. Amen. He didn't tell him, tell you,
take him a super duper sermon back. No, he didn't do that. I'm glad that he handled him gently. Almost as if, Brother Keith Willis, he expected these things happen to everybody sometimes. And the cure for this is go and show John again. Go and show John again. I told my boys, I told you once, I'm going to tell you again. Huh? Usually sometimes there's a little edge on it. Hounding them a little sharp. But Jesus wasn't sharp about this. He said all John needs is to be reminded one more time of what it is that we're in this for. Of what the mission is all about. Is anybody getting this preaching tonight? I'm wondering. I'm not trying to be mean here. He said, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The fact is, Jesus never did change. But he said, the responsibility of convincing John is going to lay on the shoulders of these two disciples that are going to leave with the answer. Hey, I want to tell you tonight, if we knew the responsibility of encouraging those around us lay on our shoulders, I feel certain that we'd have a little different testimony than what we've been hearing. Come on now. Amen. For years in our churches. Come on, you know when you stand up, it's not going to do anything for anybody. Come on, when you stand up and you're hard on this and you're harsh about that. When you stand up, tell me about Jesus. Tell me what you went after. Tell me what He's doing for you. And if perhaps it'll jog my memory back a little bit and make me remember what He's done for me. Listen, we need some encouragement in this hour. We need somebody to give us a testimony and bring it back of their experience with the Lord. I'm not going to preach an hour and a half tonight, I can tell you. And unless something drastically changes between now and the next 10 minutes. I can see them as they're there. They watch a blind man get his eyes open. I know you've heard all this. I'm not trying to tell you something to bore you here. The lame begin to walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. Those things are all good. And then he comes to this last one. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is the man that does not get offended when they don't see immediate results and they're stuck in a prison somewhere. You tell them it's the same Jesus that's taking care of blinded eyes and making the lame walk and all these other things is mindful of where they are. And I can see them as they gather up a handful of evidence of their visitation and they start kind of gathering them up. They bring it, hey, how about going down and giving John a visit over here? I really trying to help you here. I don't know if I'm doing any good or not. But somebody here tonight needs to know. And you need to hear it again. Okay, listen. Everybody's ever been prayed for does not get healed. But there's been enough testimony of healing right here in this revival to make me believe that God is a healer whether He ever heals me again or not. And that is exactly what I'm driving at. That's exactly what I'm trying to get to. I can see these men, they're sitting there, and they're soaking. Can you imagine a church service like this? We've had some of this week, or last week, or the week before. One of them. Come on now. We've had some of these services. Will the blind receive their sight? Yeah, we did. You know, they were some lost folks. I was sitting here tonight. When we pulled in here for revival, they were blind, but now they're seeing. They were lame, now they're walking. They were lepers,
and now they're cleansed. They were deaf, but now they hear. They were dead, and now they're alive. They were poor, and they've had the gospel preached to them. Huh? All these things wrapped up in what we call salvation. Just for you that ain't figured that out yet, it's called salvation. There ain't nothing like it. They can see John. They get so, John's in prison. His disciples is there. They get so excited about this. They go running back to the prison house. It's only been a couple of hours since it was there. But the difference the church service makes in some people's attitude and some folks' testimony. They see them go running back in there. And they added, hey, jailer, we're here to see John again. And when they get, they look over there and sits John in the corner, his hand buried between his fists, and he's still downhearted, and he's still blue. I can see disciple number one, come on now, just take a little notes he's took from the meeting, and he says, I feel like preaching to you, little John. And he gets to telling him, hey, listen, guess what we saw today? And he goes on preaching a little while, amen, on how blindness was cured, and he's got the evidence of a man that was blind standing there. How many fingers I got up? Come on now. And he goes on, he preached a little while longer, and he talks about that lame man walking and the leper being cleansed. And disciple number two gets so beside himself, and he says, wait a minute, I want to preach a while. And maybe he takes the microphone. I know maybe this is a little bit more than you can understand right here, but you hear me now. Right there he was. He said, I want to talk about the deaf hearing, or the dead being raised, and the poor having the gospel. They got to preaching so much about Jesus, they was so convinced it was him. I can see old John sitting over there in the corner until he starts getting that shake in his leg, and he starts to feel it something. He goes from looking down, and he's feeling bad. He feels them good goosebumps that start running up and down his spine. Suddenly his tears dry up from a, come on now. Amen, because of mourning. And they start rolling out because of joy. And he starts shaking. And he starts moving. And he starts getting a hold of his heart. And John says, hey, hang on. I think it's my turn. And I don't know. If what, he didn't jump up and say, I'm going to preach a while. You're right. That is him. What we need in this hour is an encouraging word about the power of Jesus Christ.
Can y'all see John? I don't know if he was as, somebody might argue with me about this, so I might not want to tell you. I don't know if he's as active as I am. Could have been. You really can't prove me wrong. And I can't prove me right. What if he was? He may have been running around that jail cell. Can you hear the jailer? He had been hearing sobs. And a little snuffing of the nose. He'd heard him mumbling all through the night. When all of a sudden, as a preacher gets his voice back, he's got his testimony back, and it's that same old voice that brought him in here. And I can hear the jailer sitting outside the door. When John takes his turn, he could understand the excitement of the disciples trying to encourage John, but he never thought John would ever get over it. But that day he did. I can see as he gets up and he goes to preaching, that jailer's eyes flies wide open. Hey, wait a minute here. Hey, something different going on. I don't know if he went and took a peek through the window or not. He might have took a peek in there. And John's not hunched over in the corner, sitting down feeling sorry for himself anymore. He's up running around every corner, telling him everything he can. And then he screams out to the top of his voice, hey, king! I don't know if they went to echo him and shook up in the king's quarters. It's still not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. I don't know if he did that, but it sure seemed like it. He would have. I'm telling you, he got encouraged because he heard it again. And it may be Monday night. I know you're worn out. I'm worn out. I just don't look like it. I mean, I preached everything and I felt like preaching. And I'm preaching again tonight because I feel like preaching. But I want to tell you again. Come on now.
My wife and I sometimes, we've been married long enough, 12 years now, that we were repeating stories to each other again. You know, that kind of happens. You forgot what you told. And my wife will be going down the road, and she'll get inspired by something she'll say. Did I tell you about the time? And she'll just go straight into it, and I'll say, only about 10 times before. And she'll say, oh, I'm sorry. I said, but tell it again. Tell it again. I mean, there's some things that never get old. And the story of salvation and the story of Jesus Christ has never gotten boring. It's never gotten outdated. It's never gone out of style. Hey, you want to hear somebody that likes to hear about it? I want to hear it again. Every time Brother Rocky stands up, he may think they're getting tired of hearing me. I'm not. I love it. I want to hear it again. It puts a charge into my preaching. Whenever I hear the story, amen, of what God is doing in everybody else's life, it makes me believe that God knows where I'm at in prison.
You know, when I was a kid, I'd sit there and poor old sister whoever would stand up and say, I just feel like telling you what the Lord's done for me. And I said, come on now, there's got to be more to it than this. I mean, I wasn't saved. It didn't mean nothing. I got bored. I wanted to hear another story. You know, I got more thrill had them telling about their mistakes then. Everything they'd done wrong. You know, it kind of give them a human aspect in their superhuman exterior. Seemingly. And you know, I'd sit and giggle and laugh and not making fun. I just thought it was, you know, amusing. I enjoyed it. But there's a lady, when I was pastoring, she always testified the same thing. She started every testimony out like this. She said, I thank the Lord. Before she ever got to anything else, she said, I thank the Lord for my feet, my legs, my toes, and my eyesight, and my kidneys. And for you that are diabetics, you know exactly. She was in the worst form of it. And every step she took, she loved God for it. Every time her eyes was open, and sometimes it was a little blur, and sometimes it was no blur, but she thanked God for everything she could see. And I'm telling you, I mean, I never got tired of hearing it. When you saw this lady come walking in, the life that she'd had to live, as poor as she was thankful for some of the smallest things in life. And I'm afraid, and come on now, trying to convince folks how bad it is in prison, that we've forgotten. But if you forget, have I got a testimony for you tonight? About the time I can't tell you. And I listened the other night about some of these that testified God brought them out of drugs and brought them out of alcohol, and this was that way. And Brother Keith told about his addiction, all those things. But I ain't got that testimony, but I do have this testimony. At the ripe young age of 11 years old, I got under conviction. I never did drugs. I never drank alcohol, and I'm absolutely not ashamed of it. I am glad to this day that I don't bear in my body those scars. And I just felt like I ought to tell you again, listen, you don't have to go, amen, to the worldly places, just to have a testimony. Come on and see them disciples. Hey, John, we got good news. We got good news. I got something to tell you. That's him.
I'm not trying to re-preach what Brother Mike Moore got up and told us the other night. Well, I feel like you need to know. It's him. You say, but if God really loved me, and I know the devil will talk to you, so if God really loved you, he'd change everything around you. Go show John again. You do it. I'm not making an appointment. I'm not coming there. John's never coming out of prison.
but he's coming out of despair.
I know you probably wanted a different message tonight. You probably wanted to hear something. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, some of your circumstances ain't going to change. Physically. I'm not gloom and doom. I'm not giving you a sad story. But I can tell you, you can be saved and remain saved right in the middle of your circumstance. Tell John. Go and tell John. I know where John's at. Go and tell John. Just go and tell John again. That word again is the remedy. He's just got to hear it one more time. If somebody will tell him. You see, at this point, his disciples didn't have no experience. All the religious training they'd ever had was in John the Baptist. But they come back with an experience that once John was beheaded, that they went and buried John and then went and told Jesus. They became followers of the Lord. They got something that would last them too. Are you hearing me tonight? I've got to tell you again. I know that we were probably a little on the fatigued, tired side, and probably ready just to dismiss and go to the house, and it's almost 9 o'clock, and I'm fixing to shut this thing down. But how many would like to hear it again? Well, if you don't want to hear it again, then maybe the devil would like to hear it again. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. Yes, I got it. I want you to know it. I got it. It doesn't matter what the devil thinks about it. I got it. I'm going to make my prison, come on now, into a revival center. I'm going to make this the best that I can. My circumstances may not change, but I'm going to enjoy it. John may have got discouraged, but he did not die that way. He died as encouraged as he can be. And I know some of you want out, and you'd like to have a change. How miraculous it would be. But I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is not coming to change your walls, or to change your cell, or to change the wallpaper. But what he is coming to do is to change your heart, that even in what's going on there, you can see the work of the Lord is still going on. My wife's coming. Hallelujah. See, I know you're discouraged. So I'm not going to sit down beside you. I know you're playing with the baby. That's all right. I would be too. I ain't going to sit down beside you and you say, I'm in prison. I ain't going to sit down and say, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'll tell you how bad it is for me. And they proceed to tell you, you ain't never been through nothing in your life. You don't know. You're young yet. Wait till you get my age. Come on now. No, I'm one of them disciples. You're in prison. Hey, I got something to tell you. He's still saving souls. Hey, you know what was good about that? I hear that disciple number one said, I got saved today. I got saved, called to preach on the same service. I know something or another. We've got it figured out. It takes 6 months between salvation, or a year, or 20 years, or 40 or 50 years between that and getting the Holy Ghost, called to preach. But I'm telling you, you can get it all wrapped up in one if you want it. I really believe you can. You may not believe that. I really believe you can. But I just want to tell you again. There's a prayer went up from a prison cell. That's how I feel like today. Somebody said, I just don't understand.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not here with an explanation for your understanding, but I am going to tell you again how good the Lord is. And that'll be enough to make you forget about trying to get the understanding. There's a lot of things we'll never understand. And I've sung a song and I love it. We'll understand it better by and by. But I really don't know if we will or not. Because when I get there, I won't even be worried about understanding it. I'll just be glad, amen, of my freedom. And there's no more devil. Hey, listen. There's a bright side of life that you can look at. And tonight I come to tell you on Monday night again, that's here. How many saved individuals do we have camped out in this building tonight? Wasn't for falling down, I'd almost raise my feet. I'm so excited about being saved. I mean, I love this. I mean, that's the greatest thing ever happened to me. And I've been told from the time I was just, when I first got it, you're going to cool down and cool off and you'll stop all that. I can't stop. When I think I'm going to, I'm like Jeremiah. Come on now. I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. It was like fire shut up in my bones. I tried to hold it down, but it was burning me up. I gotta tell somebody. You remember reading about every one of those folks that Jesus healed and touched. He said, don't tell anybody. But they went and told everybody they could see. They just couldn't help it. Come on, somebody said, he didn't disobey the Lord. It's just a test. Come on, let's see. If you really got it, you gotta tell somebody. You can't help it. When I got saved at 11 years old, everybody in the middle school or the elementary school, wherever it was at, in the middle school knew about it. I come in, I didn't say a word, but I had a bounce in my step. I come on, they said, what happened to you? You act like you got saved. I did. I got saved, and I thought everybody ought to want to get saved, as I got saved, and I was trying to convince folks that all they really needed was Jesus. My wife's playing. Well, is everybody cooled down now? Can I tell you again? I know it's not, well, maybe it is. For some folks, it's not nearly as interesting to talk salvation as it is to just talk about everything else. They feel like there's not as much meat in this. They'd rather talk about somebody rather than talk about Him. But you can get down everybody in the world and it still don't change your circumstance. But if you can get up on Jesus, your circumstance will not hinder you from keeping on doing God's will. Well, let's stand tonight. This is my sermon in its entirety. I'd like to hear it again. Brother Les has told me every night I come in, he said, Brother Skaggs, I just want to hear some more of that good preaching. He's got me so excited talking about preaching. I almost want to go get the tapes to listen to them myself. I'm afraid I might have missed something in there. I mean, the way he's talking about it, I'm not even sure it was me up here. I mean, this is great. I mean, look around you. I called my pastor this afternoon, Brother Gabbard. They'd had a big fire down there in Jackson County about 2 miles up the road from the church. Burnt the only factory they had in Jackson County down. I called to ask him about that, and he said, where you at now? I said, I'm still in revival. He said, well, what's going on now? I said, you wouldn't believe this. I said, we're getting them into ministry now. I said, man, we are having. Hey, Ray said, well, well. He said, I'm not sure how much longer the snow's going to hold off. I said, I ain't even worried about snow anymore. I mean, it was snowy last night. And man, oh man, what a service. I got time. I said, this has got saved. That has got saved. This has got the Holy Ghost. And we got this is going to be a preacher. Or is a preacher not going to be? Is a preacher. And this one is a preacher. He said, my, sounds like revival to me. He said, that's good news. He said, well, when you going to call? I don't know. I don't know who else is going to be a preacher before it's over with. You know why they're being called to preach? Because you need to hear it again. Because you need to hear it again. Somebody just needs to know God still loves you. Come on, He may not change your surroundings, but it can change your inside and your heart, and you can be as happy as a jailbird. Come on, you can whistle and sing and go up to the hymn book and be as happy as Paul and Silas was as they got to talking about Jesus. Man, come on, and an earthquake came, and before you know it, the jailer got saved because they were not disappointed with their payment. Our payday is not on the temporal. Don't judge payment for effort by what you receive right now. We are working on an eternal reward. And heaven will be worth it all. I feel good tonight. She's playing. You're standing. And the altar's open. Prayer of a prisoner. Somebody is wringing their hands. I just wish things was different. They are. Not what you see, but in what you can feel. And that's enough to keep me till the storm passes by. Let's come tonight. Gather in here and pray and seek the Lord. Let's come. Everybody that we are, let's come and pray.